The 20th anniversary of the Sgt. Pepper's album has been an occasion for many of us to reflect on where we were in 1967 and how we've changed. Our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg was an art student in New York then. Now he lives in California. He has these thoughts on how the hippie counterculture of the 60s changed our language.
People have a special reason for waxing nostalgic about the hippie movement out here in San Francisco, where it all began. This is the 20th anniversary of the Summer of Love, when thousands of young people floated into the Haight-Ashbury district with flowers in their hair, and as often as not, with stems and seeds in their pockets. Linguistically, that time is certainly worthy of commemoration because the hippies left quite a mark on our language. Not long ago, I heard a striking example of just how commonplace some of their words have become. There was Nancy Reagan on the Joan Rivers show, talking about how it had taken a lot of courage to make the national drug problem her personal concern. Apparently, some of her staff members had been opposed to her taking it on because, as she put it, oh, the drug issue was such a downer. I looked closely at the screen, but there was no sign of irony on the First Lady's face, and Joan Rivers was nodding gravely. For them, it appears, the word had been cleansed of any taint of its pharmacological origin. Now, it makes sense that downer should have been one of the words to have survived from that period. As it happens, just about all of the 60s words that are still in use have a negative meaning. Alongside of downer, for example, we still say uptight, freaked out, hang up, rip off, bummer, and drag. Whereas the positive words from the hippie lexicon have had a very different fate. Groovy, out of sight, and far out are the kind of words you would take out nowadays only at a costume party. The fortunes of the hippie movement as a whole are evident in this pattern. Most of us would be embarrassed to admit it now, but there really was a moment when it seemed as if all we needed was love. Here is a photograph from the March on the Pentagon. It shows a 17 or 18-year-old girl gently slipping a daisy into the rifle muzzle of one of the soldiers standing guard. It really was an extraordinary gesture. I confess that back then I would have said that it was far out. But of course, it was also a little simple-minded, to put it kindly. It isn't surprising that all that smarmy spirituality came to pieces in the face of the darker realities of the drug culture and the Vietnam War. Nor is it any wonder that grooviness came to be thought of as a pretty insipid concept. The hippies' enduring contribution had less to do with the turn-on and tune-in parts of their program than with a third clause, the one about dropping out. Of the three terms, note that only dropout has survived, and that it is now used only in a disparaging way. The hippies had sounded what Theodore Roszak refers to as a clear call for disaffiliation, and millions of people paid attention. By the 70s, half the young people in America had dropped out. They may not have put flowers in their hair, but they certainly weren't wearing crew cuts anymore. And they borrowed the hippies' language to express their own more cynical disaffection from middle-class American culture, with its rip-offs, its hang-ups, its uptightness. But where the hippies had been vaguely spiritual, their successors turned to narcissistic psychology to satisfy their inner needs. People had once rapped with each other, now they dialogued. They had once tried to do their own thing, now they looked for a nurturing lifestyle. 20 years after the fact, it's possible to look back on the lost language of the 60s with a certain indulgent fondness. But the language of the 70s is permanently beyond the power of nostalgia to redeem.
Language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg joins us each week on Fresh Air. He's a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.